Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. This is day number 4 of Quarantine Radio.
Yes, although it feels like day number 40.
We have a great lineup today.
Yeah.
David Cho, one of our best friends who lives here in New York City. He worked at College Humor. He worked for Grantland and ESPN.
Most importantly, he works with Justin Timberlake now.
Shout out to Justin. Shout out to David.
Justin doesn't know us.
One of them.
Justin's not listening.
Who knows who's going to be on tomorrow, guys?
Yeah.
Day number 5 of Quarantine Radio.
I think that Justin has like better things to worry about than thinking about our conversation with David Cho. No offense, David.
One of my favorite things is that anytime we'll be in a restaurant or at a grocery store or something like that, and Justin Timberlake's music is playing in the background,
and we let David know.
Yeah, you text him and you're just like, hey, please tell Justin that his music is on the radio. It's great. When we're in a car, whenever.
It's a good
it's
bit.
Awesome. It's a great bit. I don't think he's told him, but he should.
He should.
It's important.
Yeah.
Then we have Shea Serrano on.
Mm-hmm. The best-selling author, New York Times.
Yeah. Is he a three-time New York Times best-selling author?
Every time he does something, it's best-selling, but I can't remember how many times he's done things.
Let's call him New York Times best-selling author.
Yeah,
Shea Serrano. Down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have JoJo,
mm-hmm.
the acclaimed singer, Grammy award-winning singer.
Yes.
JoJo, who has a song out right now called Man.
It's wild to me that, like, because, you know, we had her on our podcast very early on.
5 years ago, yeah.
And we weren't good at what we were doing.
No.
And for some reason, she took a real liking to us.
Yeah.
And, like, followed us back and, like, all that stuff. And she was the first person to say, when we announced doing this, she was like, I want to be on this.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to do
mm-hmm.
is get on the phone with David Cho.
Yes.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do FaceTime audio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if this works.
Yo.
Hey.
Wow, David, you sound so clear.
I know, right?
Well, not
actually,
anymore.
Actually, I don't think you do.
Really? You don't? I mean, this is a more clear way to communicate than, like, cell phone.
I mean, this sounds great. It's just that when you switched from your AirBuds or whatever, AirPods?
I think this is like Carrie Hilson's whole thing with 5G. Where
no,
it's like...
I mean, that's a crazy person. Like, calling someone via... Like, have you guys been calling people by like, dialing like the phone number?
Correct. Yes, we dialed...
This is better fidelity than that,
You think so?
No, it's like that's definitive. Like, there's not... Like, that's why, like, The Daily and all of them, like, do all their interviews, like, with Skype. The real, like, kind of, like, insane psycho way to do it is to do it where we have the conversation, I record it on my phone,
yeah.
You record it on your side, and then you combine the two audio files.
Right, right. Is that so what you want to do?
I mean, no. Eric would have to do it. I don't have to do shit.
That is very psycho behavior. David, you live downtown.
Oh, you guys are fucking... This is all recording, isn't it? This
it is.
Like us talking.
No.
Okay.
Wait, what did you think this was?
No, I just thought it was like one of those things like where we could have like normal us talk and then talk to in front of everyone, you know? I've seen the YouTube videos, so I know that this is all going to go out there, and I forgot that for a second.
What is normal talk between all of us?
I don't know, just talking more shit about people. Like, we're not going to talk shit about anyone by name, I guess. Like, I'm not going to disparage anyone, like, actually, but I don't know, whatever.
David,
how are you guys?
Hanging in.
Yeah. David, you just posted a video of people in Italy playing My Heart Will Go on keyboard, and then a neighbor was playing on saxophone. They joined in. Is that the song you would least want to hear?
It's not about even, like, the least thing. I just think it's, like, here's the thing. Like, I don't want to shit on it because I think it's great that, like, people are, like, finding joy in these things. And, like, obviously, you guys know that for the last like year or maybe a little bit less, I've been very much on like, let's not expend negative energy on shit because it's just like not worth the time. But I don't know, like, isn't that kind of the worst thing that could ever occur? It's like your neighbors are just like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. We're only gonna be playing loud music that we're playing ourselves to everyone. It's like, that's like in any other situation, you'd be like, oh, this fucking shit. But I don't
do
know.
You?
I mean, it's like it's good for them.
Do you know any of your neighbors?
Yeah, I know my neighbor. One of my neighbors was on the board, on the co-op board when I interviewed. But like, we don't really talk. There's a older woman I talked to, when I do laundry sometimes or when I see her. There's a couple of randoms, but like obviously like I had an interview to get into my building, so like I know those people, but generally I mean like I'm not a big strangers guy, but
no, but they once you talk to them, they're not strangers anymore.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? I'm not a big like let's be friends with everyone guy, but I do think that that was one of the things that really worried me about the Corona situation, where I was like, there are like, I mean, I live in like a building that has been around for a while, and like a lot of people have lived here for like 45, 50 years, and it's just like, I know that those people are super at risk, and like there's like there's a woman I did my laundry next to yesterday who's like probably like in her late 70s or something like that, you know. It's just like, fuck, I don't want something to happen to her. Like, we have a super in our building who's probably in his 70s as well. It's like, I gotta be really, really careful. So
yeah, I was
serious.
I was in line at the grocery store. There was a big line, and there was a woman in who could not get around
from living single.
Yeah. She couldn't get around the line because she was afraid that she would fall, so I let her in front of me. And I would have let her in front of me anyway. She was an older woman, and she only had two things. And her arms were shaking because the half and half that she was holding was like too heavy for her. And so I just I made conversation with her, but it, you know, you just see how vulnerable certain people are.
Have you?
Well, it's cool to see some of the stores doing stuff like the Trader Joe's. I know it's like doing like, they're open for the first half hour or
yeah,
hours.
For, just for elderly people.
Older people, yeah. I think that's really cool.
David, have you been to a bunch of stores where you've interacted with people?
I've been. I obviously was stocking up. I did most of my shopping like at the end of last week. I went to a place a few days ago. But, I mean, it's been pretty wild. Like, the first day we went shopping was like on Thursday, I want to say. Or maybe Friday. And, like, it was fucking, I mean, it was a shit show. And it's funny. It's like, I was at a store on, I guess, yeah, maybe it was Friday where there's a line, obviously. And there's like one, and this kind of thing, it's like, it's her fault for doing this. But like, there's one girl who was, she was a little Asian looking, who like had the sniffles and was coughing and like wasn't coughing into her like sleeve. And I was like, and then everyone in line is like, and we're all in line waiting, and she's like going to pick up chicken or something. It's like, everyone's like, what are you doing? It's like, you gotta be like responsible. It's just like, you can't, you know, I don't know, the whole thing's fucking crazy.
Do you know anybody who actually like has gone out, not like in the last couple of days, but like maybe this past weekend when people were still going to like brunch or going to like
yeah, Lenny, I guess.
Well, shout out to Lenny S, who said that he was at the Dumbo Soho House.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I was walking by something on Friday night because like I was telling you guys, like I'm like trying to like at least like walk around just so I'm not like fucking going crazy, but and also like gaining like 15 pounds. But I walked by like a bar on Friday and it was just like packed. And I was like DBA on Second Avenue. I was like, what the fuck are these assholes doing? It's so stupid.
Is that like,
and it's just so irresponsible.
Yeah. They're trying for like one last hurrah.
I think it's one of those things like no one understands like the reality of the situation until like it really becomes, you know, it affects them in any way. I mean, we're all like fucking selfish, horrible human beings. But.
Yeah, but also I think that the fact that it takes so long to incubate in people's bodies, because like it takes like 2 weeks. And so,
yeah, or sometimes you might have it and you might not even show symptoms.
Yeah. And so, crazy. Yeah, it's not like, you know, I was reading a book about, right before this even all started, I was reading a book about the HIV crisis in the 80s.
Ugh, and Jeff was on coke. Corona so early.
Yeah.
Like, and before it became cool.
And then Chernobyl. Yeah. This is a very like dark sort of like side.
I just think it's a dark world. Yeah. But anyway, but
yeah, no, I definitely believe this is like a common theme amongst like multiple text threads. Sorry, Jeff, to cut you off, but like a multiple theme on text threads I'm on is just like, I think a lot of us have just become like really radicalized, and like this is on some Carrie Hilson shit of like, you know, maybe America's an experiment. Just didn't work. It's like fucking time to call it quits and make it like a fucking, you
wait,
know.
That's not where I was going with this.
I know. I just wanted to interject that with some real psycho shit.
But like, so yeah, I feel like my Twitter has just like gone like so far left where it's just like capitalism doesn't work, and you know, how come socialism only works in an emergency? And so I think that we will see how this all ends up, like, you know, if society just completely craters, or if it's...
Well, it's tough to say, like, anything is definitively right or wrong in, like, a lot of these hypothetical situations. Like, obviously I'm, like, fairly progressive and I'm for Medicare for All and all that stuff. But, like, it's kind of like, okay, well, so what's the version that works? And I don't think anyone who says, like, oh, well, this is the answer, I think is, like, that's the only person that you can say definitively is wrong. It's like, none of us know. But, like, we just have to try our best. And, like, it's funny. It's like I'm more sympathetic to the type of person who's who says, listen, I don't believe in the government, I want to keep all my money, like, whatever. It's like, all right, fine, I guess, like, that's a very fair opinion to, like, have, you know, like, you can have that opinion and, like, it, I don't agree with it, but I get it. It's more like the people who are, like, apathetic and, like, don't give a shit and also are, like, standing by as, like, racism is happening very rampantly. It's like,
yeah,
we can't not say that, like, over the last 4 years or 3.5 years or whatever, that, like, people feel more okay being actively, like, outwardly racist than they had been before. It's like, passive racism is obviously a huge still issue, or still a huge issue, but, like, you know, active racism is, like, very, very high.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I mean, that's got to be attributed to something. Like, there's only been one big, like, systemic change since.
Yeah. And David, like you and I were discussing earlier this morning, it was a little tough to get going yesterday. This morning, though, I got up a little earlier. I didn't necessarily fall into the same pitfalls as previous days where I'm, like, reading Twitter and just, like, taking all the heaviness onto, you know, my shoulders. And I went outside, and this is a very small thing, but I went to go get coffee, and I heard...
You went to go get coffee?
I did, yeah.
That's interesting.
I heard...
So what is it like in there?
There's no seats, and there's, like, one or two people working, which is not too far from the norm, but there's, like, two people working there. There was one woman in front of me, and when she was paying, I stood 6 feet from her, and when she finished, she said, I'm sorry, I'll get out of my way now for you, and then walked to the other side of the store, and then I, you know, I paid by credit card, got my coffee, and I left. But the thing that was important to me was I saw other people walking wherever they were going, and I heard construction, and I was like, you know what, at least there's drilling, at least there's, like, buildings going up, and there's some semblance of normalcy. But what I do want to say is that we're not going to go back to a normal, quote-unquote normal, that we had a month ago, or 2 months ago, or 3 months ago.
No.
It's going to be a new normal. This is like, it's like 9/11 in that sense, where it's like...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very weird. It's like, you kind of see, like, the disruption of, like, all of our existing systems kind of shows that, like, okay, well, what were essential systems and what weren't. And I think it's a really interesting, like, that's a, like, obviously, like, who knows, like, when movie theaters will open again or when sports will happen again. It's just like, we have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. And I think it's a, I don't know, it's like, it's interesting as, like, a anthropological experiment. You know what I mean? It's obviously, like, horrible that, like, people are dying. And, like, obviously, like, more people will die as, like, you know, as time goes on. But it's just a very, very, like, It's interesting to see how we as a culture all react to this thing that's complete. Like, there are very few things in, like, in our lives that are, like, completely brand new that affect the entire world at the same time. And I think that, like, as a premise is a really, really interesting one. It's like, but I don't know. I mean, it's funny. It's like, I was at the store yesterday to buy, or I went to the pharmacy across the street, like a small local pharmacy that has, like, so it's like a small structure. It's like a small room. And, I was getting some, like, NyQuil or something to, like, sleep. And there were two older women in front of me, like, probably both in their, like, 50s, 60s. And, like, one woman was standing in line behind the other one. And she was just like, she's like, my husband's at risk. Please stay away from me. It's like, I'm not trying to get the virus. And I was like, bro, like, I get it that you're stressed. But, like, we have to, like, talk better to each other. It's like, this woman wasn't doing anything, like, rude to you, and, like, she might have, like, taken a step towards you that she probably shouldn't have, but it's like, there's a way to be more polite. It's so interesting just to see, like, how everyone's interacting and how everyone's reacting. And I don't know, it's like, even, like, when I was tweeting that thing, like, kind of being like, oh, this thing in Italy sounds horrible, it's like, well, but it's also like, you don't want to be a dick to people if they're doing things that are, like, great for them or, like, they're giving them joy, you know what I mean? Like, that to me has been something that's been really interesting to see, like, how people choose to communicate with other people in this, like, particular situation where it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
How are you, know, you live by yourself. How are you dealing with the idea of just, like, being alone all the time? I know that you're not, like, the most sociable person, but, like, you know,
what the fuck is that supposed to
Meaning that you're like,
I'm a very sociable person.
I just find you misanthropic and mean.
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to say.
I'm very active socially.
Are you saying that David's like Howard Hughes?
Wait, well,
I don't. I just don't think that, that David's like.
I'm not with Jeff.
when David's not with me, then David doesn't exist. But like, so. Yeah. But my question is like, you know, you. It's not like you're always out all the time hitting every event. I'm saying that like, yes, you are used to being by yourself.
I go to dinner. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not, it's like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not like going to like big, like fucking functions, but I feel like I see, like I generally go out to eat.
What I'm trying to say is that you're somebody who's comfortable being alone. So, but I'm not sure how comfortable you are being alone all the time.
I'm pretty cool with that. I mean, yeah, I that part of it hasn't really like fucked me up. I think being inside nonstop is like more of a factor than like anything else. It's like I've, like I told you guys on text this morning, it's like I like ran up and down like our stairs like 3 or 4 times last night, like 8 flights like down and up, just because I was like, I fucking am getting fat and like I feel so like so lethargic. It's like I've got the windows open everywhere so that like there's like fresh air coming in and out and like whatever, but like yesterday I don't think I left, which is fucking crazy. But today like I'm definitely leaving and like I'll be very active. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I've been okay.
Is it is it selfish whatsoever to do work these days?
No, I think you have to do work. How can you not do work?
Because it's
like, that's like, isn't that the only thing you can do?
Well, yeah, but there's a lot of people who aren't like working on the other end. So like to ask people to, you know, think about deals that could be happening like 3 months down the line, it's just like, I don't even know, bro. Like, is there gonna be money like then? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working pretty hard, and that's when, like, when we were talking about like Monday versus Tuesday, like Monday to me, I got a ton of stuff done, and I was really, really productive. Yesterday was like a little bit slower because it was kind of like that first day of school versus like the second week of school sort of thing, where it's like the first day, like your notes are incredible and all that stuff, and then like by the second week, you've kind of tailed off. But today's been good up until we're talking, because obviously this is definitely not work. But
I thought this was pretty productive. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's
I mean, on our end.
Yeah, but I think working is really, really important. Obviously, like I think everyone or people that have jobs that can work, I think are all working at least 80 to 90% of what they normally work at. Has been my general sense. Like, obviously, like people at the label that I work with, like, are all working. You know, like all the RCA people are working. Like, Trolls is coming out on April 10th on video on demand.
Oh, it is.
And a premium video. Good plug. Yeah, it's actually
good
pretty plug,
David.
It's like, well, it's interesting in the sense that, like, and I definitely didn't have anything to do with the decision by any means, but one of the things, like I said early on, I was like, listen, like, what if we just did a streaming thing because everyone's stuck at home? Now, there's like huge issues with the theater relationships and how that works, but thankfully, like, all the theaters closed yesterday, or not thankfully, but like, obviously the theaters closed yesterday, so they get it. And then it's just a lot less money. It's like the video on demand thing is going to be $20 for, I think, a 2-day rental on most, like on YouTube, mm-hmm. iTunes, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But, you know, if you think of like a family going to see like Trolls World Tour, it's like, let's say you're a family and you're a parent with 2 kids taking the kids to see the movie. It's like, that's generally in like a New York or even in a normal city, that's like, what is that, $45 in revenue. Like, we're only going to get $20 of that. And the kids will be able to see it multiple times over the course of 2 days. It's like a significantly smaller pot. But I think it's one of those things, like, again, like talking about the shifting paradigms of the world and like things that actually force us to change like the way we do things. It's like, will this affect, like, will this change the way movies are released moving forward? Like,
well,
I don't know.
How about the ESPN decision with the Jordan documentary?
Well, there isn't a decision there. There's no decision there. They're not done with it yet. Like, they haven't like fully locked everything. Like,
right.
I say this, like, if they had, like, there was a call about it yesterday, and like, if the documentary is not completely done, I will say about that documentary, something to get excited about is like that it's going to be the first time you see Michael Jordan play in HD, which is a fucking crazy thing to think.
Yeah.
Like, I saw some of it, I guess it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and it's like, it's so shocking. And like, as a person who's like, I love LeBron, and like, I think LeBron and everything he's built is amazing, I think it kind of like really drives home that Jordan, because all he cared about was being there's something like psychologically that I think makes Jordan better than LeBron, which I think will be an interesting thing you see when you watch this documentary. But I feel like from the very beginning, you kind of get the sense of what, who he was and what it is. And it's really, really, really good.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, ESPN is not unaware of the fact that they have to fill time, you know?
Well, I mean, the original premiere, also, like, the original premiere of the documentary was pegged to the finals. So it was going to be, like, any day the finals weren't happening would be a Jordan doc, which is, like, kind of a great release mechanism. But no, I'm curious as to see what actually ends up happening with that. I'm sure they'll probably put it out sooner rather than later because they have nothing. You guys got to put that phone on silent.
Oh, can you hear it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The fidelity of the audio is much better. You guys will see. You're going to see because what am I the what sequence will I be in the?
You are
the
number podcast? One.
Yeah.
Shea Serrano. Okay, so, Shea Serrano's after you.
Oh, shit. You're doing Shea?
Yeah. And then we have JoJo, the singer, coming on third. So
good, oh, wow.
good episode for your boys.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I mean, I love being on the same episode as Shea.
Wait,
I,
like, how do you feel?
Go ahead. So,
how do you feel? Because David, you were saying we should just do one guest an episode. You know, we're 4 days in. How do you feel about three guests per episode?
I think one would be better personally. I think because the no, I mean, an hour and a half is a lot. You know, it's like the episode. Like I haven't been able to finish it in one setting. I guess because I'm like also working, so I don't want to like have it on the entire time.
Yeah,
but it's like I think. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to say, right? It's like there are a lot of people who aren't doing anything right now and like probably want as much content as possible. It's like I don't like it's also tough where it's like I mean I like have been skipping around a lot too, like not with anyone I know obviously. Like I'll listen to all of Julie Ruin, like I listen to all of Rem, like I listen to all of Lenny, but it's like there's certain people where it's like okay, I don't really know you. I don't know if like there's a like I kind of got I'm sure people are like that with me. It's like I'm sure they're hearing fucking about like Breaking Down America and like okay, this person's a fucking psychopath, like let's go. But I don't know. That's my personal take on it. Like I think one would be tighter, and like even if you did three, it's like I just think it's gonna be hard to say what happens like a week from now or like 3 weeks from now. You know what I mean? When you've burned through like 15 people a week, it's just like
David. 3 weeks from now, we're just gonna be doing like me, you, and Jeff. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say. I mean, Julia said yesterday, like we were talking about you guys and. And she was like, I want to hopefully become a regular. And I was like, and that's when I texted you. I was like, wait, do you guys have regulars? Like,
you stole Julia's idea?
Oh, I mean, I think it was like a stealing thing. I just, like, it was a question. I mean, to me, it's one of those things. Like, I'd like to get to a place where we have a premise of what we're talking about on like a Thursday or a Friday.
Yep.
And we just check in about that specific thing.
Well,
like, I think once, as you guys are doing this, I think you'll evolve into like, figuring out like specific tropes for certain people.
Oh, for
you know
sure.
What I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
At, so, and, like, at some point, this will get good, right?
Well, I mean, right now it's just like very much. I mean, I think it's very like you guys didn't plan this. It wasn't something you knew that was coming,
right?
And you just kind of started doing it.
Yeah, well,
and
I knew it was coming. Like I said, I was reading the HIV book.
All right, David. David, have a great walk outside. We will be calling you again because you'll be like Julia, one of our regulars.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can't because you can't do multiple people on FaceTime audio. I would just love to like prank, not prank, but like kind of do the thing from like Mean Girls where it's like Shay's on it and he doesn't know I'm on it. And then you ask him a question about me and then I'm just like, what the fuck?
All right, David,
we won't do that.
Have a good rest of your day. We will.
All right,
later.
Also,
oops. Nope. Damn. Well, something to say about it worked that. So well until the very end.
Yeah.
And
you wanted him off that phone call.
What's going on, boys?
How are you? We just got off the phone with David Cho. He was guest number one. He says hi.
Oh, David Cho's the worst. Go to hell.
How are you holding up these days?
I'm good. We're just at the house. All five of us are here just trying to stay out of each other's way.
Yeah, so you started this crisis with three kids. You still have three kids.
Yeah, right now we do. It's a little iffy for one of them.
Have you like tuned out the news, or are you like fully engaged?
I don't check in on the news until the night. Usually during the day, I'm doing whatever. So I try to make it a point not to go too much on Twitter. Or if I do get on Twitter, I just live in my mentions only. People don't send me coronavirus stuff. They mostly like. 35 people this morning sent me a clip of Michael Irving explaining why the Texans traded DeAndre. So like that kind of, you know, that kind of stuff I want to see. So if I just go on my mentions, there you are. But yeah, Laramie and I, we try to stay away from it until all the kids go to sleep, and then we're like, all right, let's see what new awful shit has happened so far.
Well, have you had the chance to really sit down and talk to the kids about this?
Yeah, we talked to them about it when school got canceled. School got canceled for down here. They announced it for just 1 week in the district that the boys are in, the twins are in.
Yep.
And so we told them, "Hey, you're not going to be going back to school this week." They asked why. We started explaining the situation to them. They asked a couple of questions. You know, how serious is this? This sort of thing. And we just told them what we knew and what we felt like they needed to know. So.
How are they holding up?
They're super pumped. They fucking love it. That's how kids are. The baby, the younger one, he's 7. He's got like a group chat basically on FaceTime. Him and two of his friends from school who live in the same neighborhood as us. They play all the time together. They just get on FaceTime and they like watch TV together or ride a little skateboard around the house together. It's really cute. The other two. I haven't seen them in a couple of days. They're probably in their room playing on their phone, is my guess, I hope.
Do they have any, like, movies that are on, like, repeat that you're just sick of at this point?
Nah, the kids have never been... Wait, do you hear that noise?
Yes.
Is it a train?
Or a plane?
Yeah, that's an airplane.
Nice.
Flying over us.
That must be like what it feels like to go outside, because like yeah, I haven't been.
So fortunately, we have a patio in our house, and we just cleaned it all up yesterday. It was super dirty because nobody went out there during the winter, but we cleaned it up yesterday. So now I'm sitting out here,
nice,
minding my own business. No, we don't have any movies or anything that are on repeat. None of the kids, not the twins, not the baby, have ever been like. Big into watching TV. At most, the baby watches these like YouTube channels,
right?
We're not watching Frozen again and again.
What YouTube channels is your kid like subscribed to?
Oh, there are a few of them. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. There's one guy named Coyote Peterson.
Oh yeah,
you know Coyote Peterson?
Yeah, he gets stung by big insects.
So wait, that guy, what? I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he allows himself to get like, today I'm going to let a bullet ant sting me or whatever. Then he just, you know what I'm saying? So that guy's cool. He does wildlife stuff. I like him. There's also this weird like subgroup of YouTubers who build fish tanks. Like they get a swimming pool and they'll dig a hole in their yard, put the little tiny, like one of them little toddler swimming pools in the ground and then fill it with fish and... I don't know, it's weird, but I like it. Yeah. Those ones I like. The ones that I don't like are these two guys who do pancake art.
Oh my god, I thought you were gonna talk about us.
I definitely thought that too.
And those are the two that I don't like the most. They're just so loud and just screaming the whole time.
I've gotten over the last year like heavily into car restoration and into engine rebuilds. And this is from a guy who hasn't owned a car in 13 years and lives in New York City where I don't need a car. But I watch all these YouTube videos and by the way, they're all from like dudes in Kansas and like Oklahoma and Florida and all that stuff. And so I watch these videos because I think it's about the process, right? It's about starting somewhere and finishing a job. But I'm so concerned that they're not going to, you know... make the effort, considering that, I don't know, this is a thing that needs to be done like indoors and not necessarily for me.
Yeah. My dad watches a bunch of those too, but he is like a mechanic, like he knows how to fix shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's a functional thing for him.
Shay, you know that we have a series with the Locks where we watch movies called Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies. You were invited to be on it. My question is, what movie do you want to watch with us and the Locks?
My first place pick is Mean Girls. Do you like Mean Girls?
Wow.
Yes. That would be great to watch with them, by the way.
I love Mean Girls. It's a super, super smart movie that has never really gotten the attention that it deserves.
And coincidentally, David... said that in another world where we could do group like FaceTime audio, he would be on the phone call. You would say something negative about him, and he would just jump in like it was Mean Girls.
Oh yeah, yeah, that one. That would have been good. That would have been a good move. I love Mean Girls. It's just such a good movie. Just good, smart, tight writing, which I really appreciate.
It is.
Are you like the cool mom?
No, absolutely not. I think everybody gets that sense from me. I'm like the fun, awesome, cool dad. But I'm not. I'm just a grumpy old Mexican man yelling at everybody all the time. We did this game the other day. We're sitting around the table, and I was hanging out with the baby. And he was like, "Daddy, say five nice things about me."
Wow.
And I was like, all right. And I'm like, you're smart, you're funny, you're handsome, you're good at whatever. I gave him his five. And then I was like, all right, you have to do me now. What are my five good things? And these are his five, and I'm never going to forget them for my whole entire life. He said, number one, you're fat. And I was like, you're starting off pretty rough here, but I guess we can go forward only up. And he's like, you're fat. And you yell at everybody, and you're mean, and you're good at basketball. And I was like, all right, that's good. That's good enough.
That sounds like one of your like MAGA rooting Trump fans who follow you on Twitter,
which is the weirdest dynamic. I find
it's really dumb. It makes sense though. So I figured out what was happening because I was like, why do I keep having to every like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, have the same conversation with people? I don't understand what's going on. And then I realize what's happening is a piece of news will come out and I'll be like, fuck Donald Trump, this guy's mm-hmm. racist. If you support him, you're racist. Mm-hmm. And then people will make a big fuss about it. And then I'll have to block some people and here we go. But then between that time and whenever the next time is that I do it, an event will happen and I'll make some jokes about it and more people will follow me. And in that group of new people who have followed me, they haven't seen any of that stuff yet. So when I do it, they're like, oh, wait, like I didn't sign up for it. Like the other day, we were doing like some fundraiser stuff and a bunch of new people started following me. And then mm-hmm. some people were like asking me for money in my mentions. And then some people were coming behind them and be like, don't give this person money. Look at his Twitter page. And it's just all straight Trump stuff. That's when I figured, okay, this is what's going on here. It's just new people. They don't know yet, but they're going to find out.
Right. So you have been a New York Times bestselling author for quite a while now, which is really awesome, and you put together a great body of work. You have a new project out that you are doing yourself, which is totally based around the TV show Scrubs.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know about that, now would be the good time to tell them.
Okay, so what that thing is like you mentioned, we have three books that have been bestsellers so far through like proper publishers. I do all of my books with this guy named Arturo Torres.
Other
Mexican guy who lives in Dallas.
And Sam Wiener is also Mexican?
Samantha Wiener was the editor for two of the three books.
Yes.
She's one of the rare Jewish Mexicans. we brought her into the gang. But normally
she also yells a lot, by the way.
She does. We do our books through a traditional publisher, and there you go. But we wanted to do a thing only about Scrubs, and I didn't know if like publishers were going to be interested in that. This is a TV show that's been off the air for 10 years, and it doesn't have like a super cult following like what maybe something like The Office does. So we just decided we were going to do it ourselves. So yeah, it's basically an ebook. It's 10 illustrated essays about the show Scrubs. Every essay has like a couple pieces of art in it, and then I'm just writing about the show. And there you go. That's what it is. It's awesome.
Would I like it even though I haven't ever seen an episode of Scrubs?
Yeah, you would like it because the trick is when you're an author, your job is you have to write about this thing in a way that is A, accessible to everybody, and B, also sort of challenging two people who have a very familiar knowledge with whatever it is you're writing about. So like the basketball book, when I wrote the basketball book, it had to be something that anybody could pick up and open and it would make sense. But it also had to be something that a person who's been watching basketball for their whole lives could open it and be like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it is. If you haven't seen Scrubs, you're going to read it and go like, oh, this makes sense. For example, there's an essay in there that's just all about different doctors in pop culture, because Scrubs is a medical show, a medical workplace comedy.
Oh, we're taking it all the way back to ground zero. Where you're just like, oh, you know nothing about this show. No, I know some things about this show. I know it's the guy from Clueless and the guy from Garden State.
Right.
and they're best friends, and they're doctors. They wear scrubs.
Yeah. That's what it is. So one of the essays in there, we just use Scrubs as an entry point, and then okay, cool. Now we're gonna talk about all of the pop culture doctors, like doctor from everybody from Dr. Hannibal Lecter to like the doctor that Kendrick Lamar mentions on Good Kid, Mad City.
Wow.
Like all of them in there. And we're just like, we're imagining them all sort of hanging out together. And we're writing a
like
thing
in heaven?
Like, that. Like, no, so the premise, oh, you know what? This is a perfect tie-in. We were just talking about Mean Girls. Here's the premise for the essay. The premise is, pretend that we're like in a big ballroom at like a Marriott or a Hilton in Dallas, Texas.
Done.
We're in the ballroom. There are a bunch of these, like, I don't know if you've ever been to like a company conference at one of these things, but you've got all of these tables with tablecloths. Each table has 6 or 8 seats in it. And what we're doing is we're saying, okay, every doctor from pop culture attends this annual event. It's the doctor dinner. And they all just sit at a table. So you've got a table full of like whatever doc, like Doogie Howser is sitting there, and he's with Dr. Dre and Dr. Pepper and Dr. J, whatever. So the game here is, all right, if you are in charge of like who gets to sit at your table, Regina George style, which 7 doctors are you going to pick to sit with you? Who's going to make for the like most interesting evening conversation?
Okay.
And then I'm just, you know, writing my way through that.
Dr. Pimple Popper. Dr. Pimple Popper.
Dr. Richard Kimball.
Oh, that's a good one from Fugitive.
He's a very good one. That's a good that would be an interesting pick, because you're like, oh shit, you're the guy who you had a one-armed man killed your like that's a story right there. You know what I'm saying?
Shay, I know you've been to New York like less than a handful of times, maybe.
Yeah, I only go out there if I have a book that comes out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I try to stay away from New York.
And there's a huge doctor out here whose name is Dr. Zizmore, who was really famous for cleansing people's skin. So Dr. Zizmore would be another one.
Yeah.
Any others, Jeff?
Your table sounds gross. You're the pimple guy. Like all of your stuff is acne based right now. You should spread that out a little bit.
I'm sorry.
All right, if people want to get this book of yours, where can they find it?
It's only available through me. I set up this website. It's called Sacred Heart Gang. Sacred Heart like is the hospital from the show. Sacred Heart Gang, GANG.com. And you just go there. It takes like 10 seconds. You give me some money, I give you the thing, and there you go.
Are you willing to make home deliveries?
Fuck no. I'm not leaving my house until October.
Well, yeah. Are you stocked up? Are you doing Fresh Direct? Or how do you make this happen?
Do you have the kids farming?
Yeah, we built a farm in the backyard. We're doing like fucking A Quiet Place at our house.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that movie. I hate that movie so much.
You hate A Quiet Place? What's wrong with you?
I hate everything about it. I'm just like, the holes in the plot are just so gaping wide, where I'm just like, oh, these people still don't know to be quiet.
it's kids though. The kids know to be quiet. I mean,
no, but even in the sequel, the wife is just like, hey, we need to be quiet.
Quiet Place is a good fun movie, and I'm mad you're saying mean things about it.
By the way, they can talk by the river.
Yeah.
No, none of this makes sense. Very dumb.
You could, yeah.
They deserve to die.
They didn't deserve to die. So at the house, yeah, we have supply. We live not that far from a grocery store. So we just, I mean, we're not the people who hoard a bunch of stuff. We have like enough to get for a few days, and we'll just pop in and grab what we need.
Yeah, I think that's what's important to know, is that the supply chain is still running. Although last night I did go grocery shopping at 2 a.m. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got salmon and I got rice.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Laramie and I, we were celebrating our anniversary when all yes. of this stuff like really popped off, right?
Happy anniversary to you guys.
Wait,
by
is that
the way.
A coincidence?
Yeah, this is 100% coincidence. Like, I didn't know anything about anything. And then we were in Hawaii is where we were. We were in Hawaii and we were just like minding our own business, having a good time. And then like the day we left is when everything just went crazy. That's when they canceled the NBA. It was that day.
Yeah. What was that flight like?
It was miserable.
Yeah.
Because prior to then, we weren't worried about anything. Nobody was really talking about it. I was watching it happen on Twitter and being like, okay, let's make sure we're keeping our hands clean. We're going to stay. I was like, coronavirus Hawaii, Google search is like crazy. And they didn't have any cases. And then they maybe had one who was on a cruise ship, whatever. I was like on top of it, but I wasn't too worried about it because nobody was really freaking out. And then like the last day that we were there is the NBA stuff happened. And then I got super nervous because I'm like, okay, I think people know more than they're telling us. We need to get home immediately. So we were like at the airport. I'm freaking out because there's a bunch of people around. I'm trying to like stay as far away from everybody as I can, doing this whole thing. But whatever. I called my mom and I was like, hey, mom, I don't know what it's like in San Antonio, but it feels like everything's about to get a little bit nutty. Would you mind like ordering us some groceries just to the house? Not a lot yeah. of stuff, but like, I don't know, maybe they close the grocery store for 2 days and when we get there and we have five people and no food. And I'm like, can you just order some stuff for us? Can you grab some stuff? She's like, all right, cool. Because she was in Corpus and there was nothing happening in Corpus at the time. I said, just grab it there. When you come back, we'll pick it up from you. And we came home and this girl got like 8 cans of beans and a couple of bags of rice and called it a wrap. And I was like, all right, that's and like a freezer full of chorizo. So she was going straight
that's perfect.
Mexican mom style, which was
I love that.
That was really adorable. Yeah.
Well, shout out to your mom. Shout out to your whole family. Love to you and yours. We'll be checking in sacredheartgang.com. People should go there. Check it out. Shay, thanks as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, young man. Y'all be safe.
All right, you too.
Yep. Love you.
All right, we're going to try JoJo now. Let's see how this goes.
What's up? Hey!
What's happening? How are you?
Oh, just moving to my second cup of coffee. Feeling
yeah.
Feeling real hype.
Yo.
By the way, from this angle, it looks like you're putting on chinchilla, but it is, I guess, a blanket.
Yeah, it's just like a... like a real chill yeah. Sedona style blanket.
JoJo, you were last on A Waste of Time with It's the Real like 5 years ago. We were so looking forward to having you back, seeing you in person, and putting on a way better podcast than we had done 5 years ago because we're way better at our job now. And then the world ends, and here we are. The only way to get you on the podcast is to talk about all the shit that's going on in the world. How are you holding up?
I'm personally holding up quite well so far. And I'm really grateful that my mom just moved to LA from Boston. So she's at my place and we are self-preserving, self-isolating together, me, her, and my dog.
Awesome.
And just trying to stay cool in the mind. You know what I mean? Because you can easily
dark places. I've been watching your Instagram live. You've been doing more of those, and I think that's been dope. That to see you interacting with people who wouldn't be able to see you on tour and talk to you like in other ways. So I've really appreciated you like singing and doing covers and playing with your candle and showing off your staircase and you know.
Shut up. I mean. That's really the only thing I can do is hopefully bring some type of distraction or levity or entertainment through singing and just being creative
yeah.
however I can for whoever wants to watch it. So that's really it. But I actually didn't really use the live feature at all on Instagram. So this has been an exploration for the past 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah, it's super important. We found, especially like doing this, to check in on people, to FaceTime people, to call people, to just like, yes. Even though we live in these four walls, it's like there's other people who are going through similar things, who feel the same, and you don't honestly wear this weight on your shoulders that can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, I think that just because we're isolating physically, we definitely shouldn't isolate from people. Like, we have the technology, we should be using it, whether we're Skyping or FaceTiming or using this thing called Zoom. I did an interview earlier today using Zoom, and apparently you can like have 18 people on a chat, and
oh, that's too many.
Watch that's show. Way too many. No. I agree. I think that's a lot, but I think that we have to check up on each other because we're all handling it differently. So even if you're doing well, let's just not assume. Let's check up on people.
Yeah.
So this is not the ideal rollout for your new project, is it?
No, this is not what we planned. I mean, who the fuck would have thunk that we'd ever see something like this? So, yeah, I just released my single, Man, which is the first song of my album, Good to Know. Good to Know comes out May 1st. But, yeah, so, like, it also feels weird promoting something or, like, wanting to get it out there. But, you know, we can't completely stop our lives. Our lives are changing right now, but that doesn't mean that we're going to let everything go to shit.
Yeah, we were just actually talking about that. Like, I was like, is this weird to work? You know, there's this feeling where it's just like, oh, there's bigger things at hand. Is it selfish of me to, you know, do work, put my mind on this professional side of things? And
well, I think that, I mean, we're in entertainment, and there could always be a case for what we're doing is selfish. You know what I mean? But I think that we create pastimes for people, and we give them content to consume and to bring them joy or bring them thought, you know, just things to consider or things to laugh at, whatever, things to inspire. So I think at any time it could be argued that like what we're doing is selfish. I have those thoughts sometimes too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no,
maybe
for sure.
I should just give it all up and be a nun, or you know, but then I'm like, no, Joe, like, yeah, I think you're supposed to make music. But I'm actually, me and my label, we made a like last minute call way before anything was going on with COVID-19 or anything that we knew. To switch the first single, because it was going to be this song called Small Things, which will eventually be a single. But we switched it to Man because I had just come off of like such a great beginning of this new year. And I just released this mini documentary.
Yep.
And my song with PJ Morton won R&B Song of the Year. And
congratulations.
I was feeling
no
really,
big deal.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. That was nice.
I was just
that was
feeling
nice.
Really good, feeling confident, feeling strong, feeling, you know, sexy and cool and all the things that I want to feel right now in my life. So to go with that song, Small Things, would have been like strange energetically, because I would have had to sing this sad song all the time. And it just didn't feel like the appropriate vibe. So actually it's really interesting for me in this rollout for the project, because Man is something that's lighter and something that feels fun, and you can put it on and feel good and dance to it. So I'm actually thankful that this song is out right now, because the last thing I'd want to do is put something depressing or like emo into the world. That's just not what we need right now.
For sure. And shout out to a couple of our friends who were in your video, Ari Lennox and Tinashe. I love the fact that you're rocking with them.
How did you meet Ari?
We met in New Orleans for Essence Fest at a Spotify event, I think. And she was the sweetest.
The best.
I couldn't even believe some of the things that she was saying to me. Like, she was just giving me so much love. And it's always crazy for me to meet young women who are, you know, just starting their careers, but we're around the same age. And for them to tell me that, you know, they quote unquote, you know, studied me growing up. It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
So she is a she has become a dear friend, and I just fucking love her. And
well, on the other side, what was it like meeting Mariah Carey and singing with her?
Oh my God. That was unbelievable. I never thought as a little girl that I would be able to do that. I guess I dreamed, but it all started with me sliding into her DMs and telling her this dream that I had of having a glass of wine with her. And because I literally had a dream about having a glass of wine with her. And then she's like, oh, darling, one day, you know, we need to make that happen. So I was like, I see that you have a few Vegas shows coming up. I'm sure they're sold out, but is there any way that you could get me plus one on the list? Like,
wow.
It would mean the world to me. So I just went for it.
That's fucking dope.
And because wait, so we had been like liking each other's pictures and stuff, kind of flirting on the gram. and her and her team were just so friggin' amazing and nice. And I can't believe that I got to be in her presence and tell her what she means to me, because she taught me how to sing. Mm. You know, her and Whitney Houston are the ones, they're the reason why I think a lot of us sing and sing the way we do. So like, I'm still learning from those women.
Wait, so did she followed you at some point?
Yeah, I think she started following me, yeah, within the past couple of years.
And so, like, when that happened, was that, like, the biggest moment until actually meeting her? I mean, like, I want to... Like...
Absolutely. I mean, I would send screenshots when she would like my photos or leave a comment. Or when she followed me. I mean, it was definitely... I sent it to so many people. I'm like, come on, bitch, you can't tell me nothing. Mariah Carey knows who I am. Like, you know that meme where it's like, I don't know her. Like, my friends were like, that doesn't apply to you. She knows you. So it was fucking rad.
I love then, how you manifested that, how you were just like, oh, I had this dream. Let me follow through on it. Let me make it happen. What other things have you put into the universe and you've seen them sort of come to fruition?
I mean, this phone call.
Yes. Besides this phone call.
Besides this phone call, I mean, when I was 13, I promised myself that I wouldn't go to the Grammys until I was nominated. And I didn't think that it would take as long as it did. Maybe that's like a grandiose thought, but I don't know. I just, you know, I had had so much success in my career, especially early on, that, again, you can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. You never know how things are going to, shape up. So at 29 years old, I just turned 29 in December. That was my first time ever on the Grammys red carpet. Mm. And because I don't like to be places where I have no need to be, or like I have nothing to contribute or talk about. So PJ's song that I'm featured with him on, mm-hmm. Called Say So, that was nominated for R&B Song of the Year. We ended up winning, and you know, that was my reason for being there. So I guess I manifested. I mean, I 100% thought that we had zero chance of winning.
Really?
So I actually... Absolutely. The category was lit. So I was just like, nah, like there's such bigger songs. Because the awards are so political. I just didn't think that it was going to happen, but it did. So I guess that's a manifestation. I had always dreamed of being some, you know, part of something like that. And I think also just, I don't know, little things too. I think attacking one thing at a time, controlling what you can control, letting go of what you can't, acceptance and gratitude. I think that goes a long way.
Especially in these times, by the way.
By the way, only because I saw you like putting your hand like into the flame of your candle, I have to ask you, what are your thoughts on crystals?
Oh, you're asking if I'm a crystal bitch. one of those white bitches. I like crystals, but I don't really know enough about them to be like, oh yeah, I'm harnessing the property of, you know, tanzanites, and I feel it. I feel the moldavite changing my chakras and aligning them and stuff. I don't really know. I mean, I have a few by my bed. Sometimes I fuck with them, but like, not really. I just have them because I think they might do something. Why not?
You know? Yeah. I feel like right now is the time to really harness whatever's going on in those rocks.
I mean, why not? And it's not going to do any harm, I don't think. So, yeah. Well, I mean, like,
how,
if you like them.
How are you passing the time other than, you know, IG Live and talking to...
Yeah, are you cooking? Are you, like, taking walks?
I am cooking. I am chilling with my dog. I'm taking piano lessons on YouTube.
Wow.
I'm... what else am I doing?
Did you know piano, like, at all beforehand?
I have a foundation in it, but now this is giving me time that yeah. I didn't have.
Yeah.
I realized that I was going and grinding in ways that I actually didn't even realize that I was. Like, this is forcing us all to slow down and schedule, be in control, complete control of our schedules if we're, you know, if we don't have to take care of kids or anything. So it's just me, my mom, and my dog. And yeah, we're staying active. I'm doing workouts at home and making little tutorials of, like, I made a cocktail yesterday. I'm going to make another one called The Good to Know using some Hennessy later this week. And
is it all Hennessy?
yeah, it's pretty much just a glass of Hennessy.
that would be great.
No, it's like a Hennessy sidecar with a little twist that I still haven't figured out what that twist is going to be, but I'm going to experiment. I love mixology. So just having fun with different sensual arts, whether it be mixology, cooking, you know, dancing, pole work, floor work, all these different things that I enjoy. Why not?
Yeah. So when you were originally on our podcast, we talked about your whole life to that point. And you know who was a huge fan of that episode? Bun B. And Bun,
really?
Yeah, because Bun was
respect.
Like, he was like, we always paid attention to contracts in the music business because they didn't like their deal. A lot of people had, you know, issues of varying levels of, you know,
shadiness.
Yeah. And yours obviously is on one very far end of the spectrum as a terrible, terrible contract. And but Bun was a huge fan of that episode. And I always thought that was pretty damn cool.
He's pretty damn cool. My friend Lito, who produced a lot of my album, has told me how dope he is and just how, like, informed and how much of a... Obviously, he's an OG.
Yeah.
So that's really cool to hear.
Yeah.
And that people that I didn't even think were, you know, were tuning in and paying attention.
Well, no, only... And he's the only person that listens to the episode.
Oh, well, at least Bun B listens.
Yeah. Also, I loved in your documentary that you put out recently that you got to talk about your partnership with Aaron Bashuk, who's another friend of ours, and the fact that you guys were able to circle back and reconnect now that he's running Warner Records. And it's such a nice, creative friendship and partnership, and it's really satisfying for us to see you guys reconnect after a few years apart and see this body of work come to fruition while you're over there.
Man, that's my guy. I love him. I have so much respect for him. And we've worked together on and off for a long time. He signed me first to Atlantic when he was an A&R over there, you know, coming off of the success with Bruno Mars. And his trajectory just kept, you know, going upward and upward. And I was kind of lost in the shuffle because when you sign to a label, you can't just be like, oh, well, my champion isn't there anymore. Let me move along. Like, there's just so much that people don't get to see behind the scenes that really inform the way things go.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, that's my dude. I know I'm at the right place with Warner. I have my label Clover Music there, and I feel really supported, and I just have, like, such an amazing group of people that I get to work with, and it's really is a partnership. I've never felt that as much as I feel it right now.
Well, that's pretty special. Okay, so Man is out now. Go stream that everywhere. Your project, your full project, drops on May 1st, right?
That's right.
May 1st. And in the meantime, you're good. You're going to be doing tutorials. You're learning how to play the piano. Your mom and your dog are there. You have coffee every morning. You are an East Coast girl in your heart.
Ooh.
Is this Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
Yo, swear to God, yes it is. Hold on. I literally found it at the grocery store. Let's see what flavor it is. This is Dunkies.
Okay.
It's Dulce de Leche Cookie.
There you go.
Now, this is very not... This is the most, like, Boston thing I've done recently.
I'm saying.
Because this is artificially flavored, already ground coffee. But let me also admit to you that I do have organic... 100 miles stump town coffee roasters, like whole bean.
Don't do it.
Right behind there.
Don't do it, Joe.
I gotta do it. I am both. I live somewhere in the balance.
You're a complicated person.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, right. I have some really important questions. What do you call sprinkles?
Jimmy's.
Correct. And I went to school at BU, so like that's like one of the things that I picked up.
Yeah.
Do you still say wicked?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I hope I never lose that. I really like it. Like, yeah, that was wicked good. I'm wicked tired or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I like that, like, the Boston just came out.
I know. I
like,
heard
where,
it
like,
too.
JoJo's like, never.
Yeah.
Never. You can actually hear it in Man. You can hear where I've been looking, but he's so rare. Yeah, I know that he out there. Who gonna step up to the plate? Yeah. Because I think it actually comes out most when I'm singing. I like refuse to say R as well.
Even though like it feels like a lot of people lose their accents when they sing, right? Like you never know that a British singer is a British singer.
Right.
That is true. But for me, it's the opposite.
Yeah, you put it like down.
I put it down.
Just like the Dunkin' Donuts.
Also, did you did the what series is it? It's like Cosmo, I think, like they like give you a word and you have to think of a song with the word.
Oh, yeah, Song Association. Yeah, I've done a few of those.
It's so good. Like, it's one of my favorite series on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I think it's so fun. Like, it's a really fun time to be an artist, actually, if you don't take yourself too seriously. Like, they have us do some wild shit, and it's funny.
Yeah.
Is that the most stress that you've ever, like, been under?
Definitely the most stress. Yeah. I developed an ulcer.
Yeah.
Nah, it's chill.
All right. Well, JoJo, thanks so much for being a part of this. Love to you, your mom, and your dog. And
hey, thank you.
We'll all get through this thanks to, I think, all staying sane. And your Instagram lives are a super important part of that, and we appreciate you for that. And we'll hopefully be checking in real soon.
Thank you. I hope all your family is well. Hope you guys stay well. And, yeah, hope to see you in person.
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Shout out to JoJo. Shout out to David Cho.
Yep.
Shout out to Shea Serrano. Jeff.
Everybody rhymes.
We have gotten to the point now where my phone is on 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Styles P did hit us
mm-hmm.
and say we could call him now.
No, we can do that another time.
Okay, so we'll call Styles another time. How are you feeling?
I feel much better now than I did at the beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Only because I feel more awake.
Yeah.
Again, I was food shopping at 2 a.m. last night. So I just, I feel good. You?
I feel great. Again, being outside, hearing that the world is still turning was super helpful to me.
Yeah.
Showering early, eating, you know, breakfast at a regular time felt good. Watching news bloopers. Made me laugh and become alive.
Yep.
Was there anyone online at 2 in the morning?
You mean like on the grocery store?
At
line?
The grocery store.
There was one girl who I promise I'm a tall drink of water.
Yeah.
She was taller than me.
Whoa.
And she seemed to be on something.
Okay.
Only because she was like the only person in the grocery store and she was directing. Like she laid out everything on one unused conveyor belt.
Yes.
And then was like telling different staffers like that she needed more things. And it was like all just like very random like stuff. It was like sushi, but also like a quinoa salad, which I guess isn't that random.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like everything was just laid out. And so I don't know, man. It was 2 a.m.
Well, all
she
right.
was in a weird place. I was in a weird place.
And this is a weird place, not a quiet place.
Fuck a quiet place. It's an awful movie.
As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.